He said he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, and at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen. That's what our attitude should be like. We should take this passage into 2021 and be the loving, be unified, be unselfish, right? Put others first and have that same attitude. And listen, just as God exalted Jesus, how many of you realize he will exalt us if we will put him first, if we will act like him? If we will do that, God will use us to exalt Jesus to our family, to our world, to our county, to our nation. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's the example of Jesus. Make it, my challenge for you is to make it your goal to love people regardless of what their issues are. Like, oh, you know, I don't know if I can love that person. They're a Republican, they're a Democrat, they're this, they're that. No, my goal is to love people regardless of whatever issues. Because remember, first and foremost, I'm a citizen of heaven. Amen. How many of you are with me?
Yeah.
Right? Our citizenship here on earth will expire one day. And we will transition. Our citizenship is in heaven. So we need to remember that. I want to cover a couple of things before I get into the 3 points that I want to talk about. But I want to talk about resolutions. Because a lot of people make New Year's resolutions, right? That's something. It's like January. Everything's about new starts. Let's do something new. Let me just ask this. How many of you think you know what the number one New Year's resolution is? Somebody say it.
Weight
loss, right? Like that's the biggie, right? Those of you that don't struggle, that are like skinny all your life, you don't even understand the struggle. Can I hear from the rest of us that understand? So that's number one. Making life or self-improvements is number two. Making better financial decisions, right? Anybody like, you know what, I want to be a little bit wiser with my money. Quit smoking is number four. Do more exciting things. You know, that's kind of hard to do when everything's shut down, isn't it? Spend more time with family and close friends as long as you're 6 feet apart. No, I'm kidding. Work out. How many of you know, I'm going to work out this new year. Gym memberships usually skyrocket at this time, and then by the end of January, they drop back off, right? Just how it is. Learning to do something new. I'm going to learn how to weave baskets, right? I don't know, whatever it is. Do more good deeds. Find the love of my life. Joshua and Heather are good because that won't be their new resolution. They're getting married on Thursday, just in case you didn't realize. Those of you that are watching online, we will be live streaming that, so you can watch it there as well. How about this? Find a better job. Anyone ever make that New Year's resolution? Like, I don't want this job anymore. Here's the reality. 41% of Americans make a resolution every January. And of that 41%, only 9% feel like they ever accomplished that resolution. That means a lot of people quit. If you break those numbers down, only 4.5% of Americans will make a resolution that they'll actually achieve. 4.5%, that's a pretty small number. Why should I even do it? Well, let me challenge you that it's good to make changes in our life. Unless you feel like you have arrived and you are Christ-like in everything that you do, and you don't have any struggles, and you don't have to, but I would say do it, because guess what? You may be one of those 4.5%. You may be the one that makes the change in your life that really needs to happen. So I want to give you real quick tips here about making New Year's resolutions. Number one, you need to write it down. You need to be specific in what your resolution is. Now, there's all kinds of things. Maybe your resolution is to not be angry all the time, right? Not to be so critical. Nobody struggles with that, right? Criticalness? Nah, no, I don't struggle with that. Maybe it's the weight loss. Maybe it's getting healthy. Who knows what it is? But be specific about what it is. So if you just say, my goal this year is to lose weight, how many of you know that's pretty general? Because if you lose 1 pound, you've lost weight. done, accomplished, I lost a pound. Be specific. If you want to lose 10 pounds, 20 pounds, whatever it is, write it down and put it somewhere where you'll be reminded of it. So don't write it down, stick it in a book, close it up, and never see it again. Like if it's about losing weight, stick that reminder on your cookie jar so that every time you go, you're, oh, wait a minute, that's right, I got a New Year's resolution. Stay out of the cookies, right? Write it down, be specific. Second one is to chart your progress. You know what? Hey, listen, I'm achieving. I've made it this far. I lost 5. You know what? My goal is 20. I still got 15. Write it down and keep a journal. I haven't been critical in 3 days. Yeah, you know what? Write it down and journal that. Second one is, this is so important, develop accountability. Have somebody in your life that you've got to answer to. And I know we don't like that. You know what? I don't want to answer to anybody. Well, if you want to achieve goals, you better learn to have accountability in your life. Amen? Next one is, expect obstacles. Like when you make changes, you're going to hit bumps and challenges, right? Just know that it's going to happen. Don't be like, what? I didn't think I'd be tempted with chocolate cake again. You know, I made a New Year's resolution. Why is it calling my name so loudly, right? Next one is to plan a big celebration. When you achieve goals, then don't just like, I guess I did it. You know, learn to celebrate. Like, hey, yeah, you know what? I've done it. But here's a word of caution. If your goal was to lose weight, don't celebrate with a 3-day binge on carbs and sweets. Right? Wrong, right? Boo, right? Like, oh, man, you know what? I thought I could eat a whole cheesecake and not gain any of that back, right? So let me get into what my real point of this message is. God is the same God yesterday, today, and
forever,
right? So the things that you and I faced 10 years ago, God's the same God then. God is the same God of 2020, right? He didn't go anywhere. People may be thinking, did God go on vacation through 2020? What happened, right? No, he's still the same God. He's the same God that's coming up in 2021. And we can count on him. He's the same one. So here's 3 keys. If you're taking notes, you can write these down. 3 facts that will change your outlook for 2021. The first one is this. There is nothing in your past, and I really want to focus, yesterday, things that happened that God can't redeem. There's nothing that you've done. There's nothing that you've said. There's no activity. There's no bridge that maybe you have burnt. Like, oh, man, I burned all the bridges. Let me tell you, God can redeem anything out of our past. Amen. And here's the definition of being able to be redeemed. To release from blame or debt. To clear the debt and to free from the consequences of sin. Let me just say this. If you have committed, and I know nobody in this room or probably watching online because it's other people, but all those other people that have committed horrible sins, right? No one here, right? How many of you know sometimes as human beings, we have a hard time shaking the guilt of that? We have a hard time getting past that. It's hard to make these statements that, hey, listen, in Christ, I'm a new person. It's hard to make that statement when so many times we still feel like the old person. Sometimes we make decisions like the old person, and we have these thoughts in our head. Maybe you verbalize it, maybe you haven't. God could never forgive me. No, I've blown it. God wouldn't want me back after I have messed up so many times. Like sometimes the enemy plays that in our head, like, oh yeah, God gave you 3 chances, you know, and you know, just like baseball, 3 strikes and you're out. God's not going to give you a 4th chance. He's not going to give you a 5th chance. We tell ourselves that, right? I've blown it. I was so horrible that God could never redeem me. I want to tell you that God can and he will. And if we're to move forward into 2021, I want to tell you the enemy wants to hold you back with your past. Oh, you can't go forward. You can't do this. You can't do that. Let me give you a biblical example. It's Saul of Tarsus. And Saul was not a good guy in the beginning. And we know Saul eventually became the Apostle Paul. But look what it says about Saul in Acts chapter 9. It says, meanwhile, and this is always just an interesting wording here, Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Like, I mean, it's like every breath that's coming out. When you're breathing out murderous threats against somebody, how many of you know you're probably seething with anger? There's a lot of violence. There's a lot, and that's not a good thing. And it says that he went to the high priest, asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus. He was so against, I'm willing to travel anywhere in order to arrest these guys. They're under my skin so bad. And that if he found anyone that belonged to the way, whether men or women, that he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Doesn't matter if they have kids. Doesn't matter what the situation is. He wanted to arrest people. He wanted to throw them in jail. He was not a good guy. But then look what happens to him. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Listen, Saul had a powerful encounter with Jesus. Wouldn't you agree? There are not many people. I don't think I've met anybody that has quite had an experience like that with Paul. But because, you know, let me say, Jesus, Paul knew about Jesus' ministry. Everybody did. But he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. This is the same man that persecuted Christians. And yet, even though he called himself the chief of sinners, like, you know what, you guys are sinners, but I'm your chief. I'm the worst of all of you. He was redeemed by Jesus. His life was redeemed. He became Paul, the apostle to the Gentile world, wrote over a third of the New Testament. And if God can use somebody as wicked as Saul to become a voice for so many, how many of you know God can use us? God will hear our cry in our most broken position ever. No matter where you are, God hears you. And I know often when we have been down so much, forgiveness is difficult to receive, right? It's like, you know, not just receiving forgiveness from God. A lot of people struggle forgiving themselves, right? Okay, I know God forgives me, but we just beat ourselves up over it over and over and over again. You know, and really, that's not so much ourselves, it is the enemy just constantly reminding you, oh, I know God forgives me, but he wants to hold you back. He wants to keep you back from forgiving yourself. Like, God, God, if you have forgiven me, I've got to let it go. Even if other people may not forgive you, you got to know that God has forgiven. The scripture says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and he's just, and he will forgive our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. How many of you believe that? If I got to get there, I got to confess it. That's the first step in that. I've got to learn to repent, which doesn't mean to say I'm sorry. It means to turn around and go the other way. Acts 3:19 says, repent, therefore, turn back that your sins may be blotted out. So it's like, okay, I confess it. Now I'm repenting. And then we need to accept Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for the payment of my sin. Repent, accept Christ. And listen, my prayer is this, that we would begin to see ourselves through God's eyes. What a breakthrough that would be. If you could just see yourself through God's eyes and not through your own eyes of failure, not through the eyes of other people like, oh, yeah, I know that guy, you know, I know that woman. They're such a failure. The scripture says this in 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away, and behold, the new has come. And so if I'm going to get past my past, I've got to begin to walk in him. I've got to begin to see myself as Christ sees me. Amen? So that's the first step. Nothing in the past that God can't redeem. Secondly, there's nothing in your present that God can't change. There is hope for you. There's hope for me. I don't care what the situation is. Listen, I know 2020 started off with a lot of optimism for a lot of people. I think I shared this. There were a lot of pastors that I know that were doing sermons on 2020 vision. Man, we got a lot of excitement. And then all of a sudden, March, everything blew up. And it's like, just as we're kind of thinking we're getting over that, all of a sudden June blew up even more with riots and our cities are burning and everything going on. And as we think we're getting through that, all of a sudden the elections and all of that blew up. And like, what in the world's going on, Lord? And we're just kind of in a situation where sometimes we feel hopeless. Right? Have you ever been in a situation where your presence seems so hopeless? I don't see any way out of this. I don't know how I'm going to get out. I'm in a situation that's impossible. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe there's a relationship issue. And you feel like I'm powerless to do anything. Anybody ever been in that boat? You know that boat. It's got your name on it, right? Like I've got a little shack on that boat. The hopeless boat. Situations happen all the time. And I want to remind you that whatever situation you may be in right now, or even thinking about COVID, it may have caught you off guard, but it did not catch God off guard. When COVID hit, God the Father was not up there saying, Jesus, like, oh no, Jesus, what are we going to do? There's a virus going on. Everything's shutting down. We're going to have to change plans. Now, let me say, I had to change plans. Probably you had to change plans. It caught me off guard, but God totally knew it. And so that if God knows that, he knows what you're going through. He knows what situation you're in. He's not like, oh no, now what are we going to do in their life? Look, they got this health issue. Look, there's this relationship issue. Oh, look, they got a financial issue. What are we going to do? God is not surprised in your hopeless situation. God knows. He knows the situation you're facing. Doctors can be puzzled, right? Doctors don't always have all the answers, but God's not puzzled by it. He's not like, huh, I wonder what they got. When the scientists and teachers may not have an answer, God does, right? Maybe you go to a counselor, and sometimes counselors are like, you know, I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes people are easy to point in the right direction. Sometimes it's like, man, I don't know what you're going to do. I remember we had this was years ago, an individual that had so much debt. I mean, I don't even want to go into how much. And we had a financial counselor that came. And after it was over, we're like, hey, you know, how'd things go? She goes, he didn't know what to say to me. It was he didn't even know what direction to point her in because it was so bad. Counselors don't always have the answer, but guess what? God has the answer. God knows. When it blows everybody else's mind, when there's many men, think about it in the scripture, reading the Bible, there are many men and women of faith that faced impossible situations. And sometimes when we read Bible stories, when we know the end of the story, it doesn't seem that big of a deal, does it? Like, think about Joseph, who was thrown into a pit by his brothers, thinking that he was going to be killed. Instead, he gets sold as a slave. How many of you feel like if somebody came and grabbed you and sold you as a slave, that'd be a pretty helpless situation at this point? Like, and you didn't even have the American judicial system. You had, like, back then, you couldn't appeal your case. Excuse me, I'd like to appeal my case. No, you didn't get any of that. That was hopeless, right? What about, I just finished reading Job through my devotion, and Job lost all of his family except for his wife. He lost all of his finances, lost his health, all of that. And at the worst place in his life, don't you think that would feel pretty helpless? Right? You got boils on your skin and you're scraping it with pottery and you don't have any comfort. You got these three wise guys that are trying to tell you it's because you're a dirty, rotten sinner that you're facing this. That was a hopeless situation. What about Moses? You know, when he's leading the children of Israel, finally, you know, we're all leaving, and they come up to the Red Sea. There's the Red Sea, and you got Pharaoh's army coming. It's like, that's no big deal because God's going to open it. But guess what? Moses didn't know that at the time. He didn't know what was going to happen. It's like, here we are. That was hopeless. Daniel being thrown into the lion's den, I'm sure the thought like, well, I know God can deliver me, but I might be these cats' food. Right? I'm about to be cat food here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bound and thrown into the fiery furnace. All of those situations, and if you find yourself that you're in a place where there's no hope, if you feel trapped, if you feel defeated or discouraged, and death is at your doorstep, and it looks like there's no way out, I want you to remember this. There is nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing, nothing in your present that God can't change. Whatever you're going through, God can intervene. He will intervene. I believe that he will intervene. Don't get caught up in the oh, no, you know, this is it. This is my life. You know, listen, if there's somebody in your family and they're in an addictive situation, don't give up hope because there's still hope. right? If your marriage is falling apart and you're like, man, there's no hope here. Listen, there's still hope. If your bank account is at zero, anybody ever been there? Come on. How about below zero? Mine's been below zero, but it's plenty of times. And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what we're going to do. There's still hope. The doctor comes with a report that you don't really like. There's still hope, right? Amen. If you're filled with fear and anxiety, there's still hope for us. And let me just say this, because sometimes as a follower of Christ, we may look at death as the worst possible thing that could happen to us, right? Can I just say that's the wrong perspective? Because we got heaven. Dying when you have Jesus in your life, can you hear me, is not a negative. That's not a bad thing. What is a negative, what is the worst possible situation, is either living or dying without Jesus. Right? If you're living your life without Jesus, that means that you're trying to do it all on your own. You're trying to build it up yourself. And obviously, when you die without Jesus, that is the worst case scenario. So remember, there's nothing in this present that God can't change. I don't know the details of your life. If you're watching online, I don't know what you're going through. But I know the God that can change all of the negatives in our life and turn them into a positive. Amen? God can change situations at the drop of a hat before you realize it. Think about Joseph. Remember, I mentioned him a minute ago. He's in a hole. Then he's in a house as a slave. He ends up going to prison. And the next thing you know, he's the second in command of Egypt, saving hundreds of thousands of people's lives. That's a God that can change things in a moment. Job, who had lost everything, the Bible, at the end of Job, all of a sudden he got twice as much as he had before. God restored not just what was lost, but even more. God miraculously to Moses split the Red Sea. That had to be amazing. I mean, as much and as cool as the movie is, can you imagine real life? Like you got Pharaoh's army breathing down in the waters. We don't know what it looked like, but I bet it was pretty awesome. That was God coming in and changing their present. Daniel, he went in the lion's den. Guess what? He came out alive. Right? They weren't like picking up bits and pieces of him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked out of the fiery furnace. So remember, nothing in your life, nothing that you're currently in, that there's hope. Hang on to that. When you're going into 2021, maybe you're carrying some baggage with you into that year. Just understand, you know what, God, if I stay connected to God, God's going to help me out of this. There's a way out. There's a place that I can go. Number three, these are just these three things. There's nothing in the future that God can't take care of. We don't have to be afraid of 2021. Come on. I know that if there's anything 2020 has taught us or conditioned a lot of people for, it has conditioned people to be afraid of the future. Oh no, this was so bad. What's 2021 going to be? You know what? If the house burned down, that means the whole nation's going to burn down this next year. I looked online for some 2021 memes because I've seen some of them popping up. So I just wanted to share a few of these with you. Look at this kid. What if 2020 is just a trailer for 2021? See the concern on his face there, like, oh no. this is just fear. What about me excited? 2020 is almost over, and then you got these future years looking back like, oh, you thought that was bad. It's only going to get worse. So here, nobody's, this is a brain here, in case you're wondering. Are you going to sleep? Yes, I am. Now shut up. What if 2020 is only to prepare us for 2021, right? Then why? How many of you know fear is stewing here? Now, this next one, I don't know if you guys will know who this is. Who knows who that is? Yeah, it's old Baby Yoda. Grogu, if you happen to be watching that. But he says, I like this. Before I agree to 2021, I need to see some terms and conditions. Right? How many of you understand that? I want to tell you, we need to be ready to take 2021 on. So here's this next guy. He's ready to take it on. I'm ready for it. Bring it. Put on your watermelon helmet and your goggles and let's go for it, right? Let's get ready. We don't have to worry because God's in control. Amen. So here's the thing. What worries or concerns do you have going into 2021? You might have them. I mean, it would be pretty normal. If you live your life with this idea of, oh, no, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop, 2020 was one shoe. 2021 is going to be the next one. If you live your life like, oh, no, you know what? I'm waiting for the next bat. I'm going to the doctor. I know he's going to tell me something I don't want to hear. Or maybe the phone rings in the middle of the night and you immediately think somebody died. Like, oh, no, who is it now? Listen, we live in an anxious world, do we not? A lot of anxiety. And let me say, they've done research pre-COVID, and anxiety and all of that stuff was a big deal back then. Can I tell you that since COVID has hit, everything has ramped up. Everything has gotten worse. Here's some statistics, and these were studies that were done back in June. So I can imagine what they're at now. But it says reports show that 34% of married men and women report increased stress in their marriage because of the pandemic. How many of you know stress in a marriage is not good? There's been more divorces. There's been more things that are going on because of that. A one-third of marriages. That's a big number, isn't it? Look at mental health statistics. I'm going to give you several of them. According to the CDC, 40%, let that sink in, 4 out of every 10 people are suffering from at least one mental health or behavioral issue, including depression, anxiety, PTSD, or substance abuse, and that number is 3 to 4 times higher than the levels reported 1 year ago. That stuff's going on right now. The pandemic's impact on mental health of people of color is especially pronounced. Roughly 40% Black, Latino, or mixed-race people report symptoms of anxiety or depression above average rates. This is from the California Healthcare Foundation. 30% reported symptoms of anxiety disorder or depressive disorder. 25% reported symptoms of a trauma and stress-related disorder due to the pandemic. See, this is crazy what's going on. Look at this one. 13% report having started or increased substance use to cope with stress or emotions related to COVID-19. Let me tell you, it's already through the roof as it is. People that are struggling with addiction, this has only increased it. That's only gone up higher. Check this one out. Of particular concern, 11% reported they have seriously contemplated suicide in the past 30 days. 11% of Americans have contemplated suicide, and this was through the month of June. But look at what's even more troubling. Among those aged 18 to 24 years old, that number was 25%. I don't know if that's concerning to you or not, that one quarter of young adults of Americans contemplated suicide because of this pandemic. And I think that's one of the reasons that as a church, we have chosen not to close again. I know, oh, shut down the churches. You can do everything online. Let me tell you, God created us for community. Right? And when we are separated, it affects us in all of these ways that we're seeing. We don't realize how important it is. Oh, I'll just watch online, you know, occasionally. But I don't get the interaction. And I want to tell you, Jesus understood. He knew that as human beings, we're going to face worry. Right? He knew we were going to face stress. He knew that we were going to face anxiety. I mean, like none of that caught God off idea. And look what he says in Matthew 6. Verse 25, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. He's saying, don't worry about it, right? Let's everybody say, don't worry. Because why? Look what he says in verse 32. For the pagans run, and pagan, anybody that's not a follower of Christ, doesn't mean you're walking around worshiping the devil, okay? Because sometimes we think pagan. He's just talking about somebody that doesn't know Christ runs after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. How many of you know God knows you need food, right? He knows you need shelter. And let me just say, what he's saying here is that it is normal and reasonable for somebody that doesn't know Christ to run after those things, because who else are they going to go to? They're not going to God. It's normal for them to chase after. Oh, no, I got to think about this, and I got to think about that. I got to make sure that I have this. That's just how it's going to be without Christ. But as a follower of Christ, can I tell you this, that worry is a choice we make. If you are worried about anything, It is a choice that you have made, because we have a Heavenly Father who already knows what our needs are. And He, guess what? He wants to give us good things. That is His desire, is to give us good things. Matthew chapter 7, He says this: which of you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Like, is God going to do that? Oh, God, I sure need some bread. Here's a rock. How many of you remember Charlie Brown Halloween? Come on, some of you. I got a candy bar. I got this. I got a rock. Let me tell you, God is not going to give us a rock. If he asks for a fish, is he going to give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your father. Look what, I love this. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? How much more does God take care of us? And so here's the thing we need to remember. We have the opportunity to opt out of worry, right? When worry comes knocking at the door, it's like, am I going to embrace worry? Oh, yeah, let me just worry about this for a while. Let me think about it. Let me go to sleep and lay there in the bed for 5 hours until I simply fall out from exhaustion, worrying about this, going over and over and over and over in my head. How many of you want to do that? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you've done it, because we've probably all done it a few times, right? Because worry is something that we battle with, but we can realize, wait a minute, God loves me, and God wants to take care of me. See, Jesus gives us an alternative to worrying about those things that consume an unbeliever. He says this in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. That's an alternative that I have. I can seek God's kingdom and I can live righteously. Notice it doesn't say live perfectly. How many of you would qualify if he said live perfectly? Let me put my hand down. No, choose to live a righteous life, seek after God's kingdom, and God's going to give us everything that we need. Not going to give you everything that you want. You realize there's a difference, right? Oh, man, I need the new iPhone. What number is it on now? 12? Huh? Is it a 20? No. I'm like, no way. I'm like, whoa. That just like jumped ahead light years there. So, but it will be there. Oh, that's what I need. No, God will give us everything that we need, not everything that we want. And I don't know about you, but I think that's an incredible offer.
Amen.
That's an incredible, if you stop and think, I don't have to waste all of my brain energy thinking, oh no, what about this? What about that? How am I going to get this? How am I going to get that? I can stop and begin to trust God. I can really trust God to take care of me.
Amen.
We're going into 2021, guys. Can I trust God? Can I exchange all of my anxiety for the peace of God? I want to tell you, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have worry and anxiety want to come on you. Of course we're going to have it. You're going to have circumstances, but I can take that anxiety, I can take that worry and say, okay, God, here I am. I've got that worry, but I'm bringing it to you. And you begin to pray and say, God, I need your peace in this situation. Let me just say this. Every time our family has moved, we moved from Colorado to Texas, Texas to Chico, California, Chico, California to Cameron Park. Listen, you always face unknowns, right? There's always these opportunities for fear to want to come in. And let me just say this, the most difficult move that we probably made was from Texas to California, because there were a lot of unknowns. I didn't know anything about California. I knew this, I knew Texans didn't like Californians because they kept moving there. So I thought, oh no, are they going to not like us whenever I go there? Oh, you're from Texas, are you? Little did we realize hardly anybody moved from Texas to here. Everybody's going the other way. And so when I first got there, I mean, I didn't want to say, hey, yeah, we're from Texas. Listen, I didn't even want to tell people I was a Dallas Cowboy fan at first. I'm just telling you. But I don't have no problem now, so this one here is for Sam, just for him. I told him, how about them Cowboy 49er game last week? Just so that he knows that, right? he didn't want to say it. I told you it was in my sermon notes, so I don't know if he believed that. Listen, a lot of things, and I look back now, yes, there were some difficult times, but I can say that God has been good to us every step of the way. Because I chose not to work and worry. Listen, if I was so overcome by worry, we would have never left Texas.
That's right.
We would have never left there. We would have never left Chico to come here if I allowed worry. What happens if this? What happens if they don't like me? What if everything implodes? What all these things? We can worry, worry, worry. No, I can trust God and begin to step out in Him. Amen. I can trust God. Listen, if you're fearful of 2021, stressed out as how's everything going to shape up, and you know I can't seem to figure out how this is going to work out. What if this happens, God? What if this happens? What if this happens? Listen, I have a word for you today. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, many of you have heard it. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Let me give it to you out of the Message version. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. And listen, this is a word to me as much as anyone else. He says, don't try to figure out everything on your own. I'm just going to stop right there because I'm guilty of that. Anybody else ever guilty? I want to figure it out. Like, I want pieces of the puzzle in place before I get there. I want to figure out all of this. I want to get this planned out. I want all of these things. That is just kind of how my mind works. So sometimes God pulls me way out of my comfort zone where I can't figure everything out. And as we look into a new year, it's like, okay, God, I've got to trust God from the bottom of my heart and let go trying to figure it all out. All right, God, this will be my plan. Plan A, plan B. And if that doesn't work, I got plan C lined up. No. And then He says, listen to God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go, because He is the one who will keep you on track. Amen. Amen? What does 2021 hold? Don't worry about the past. Move past that. Don't worry about the situations that you're currently in, because God is going to provide a way out for you. He's going to open up the door in His time. Yes, it's never in our time, but God is going to do that. And let's learn to trust God. God, whatever my future holds, man, I don't know. I don't know what 2021 is going to hold. Maybe 2021 is going to be worse. Now, I'm not speaking that out. I just want you to know. But you know what? I know that God's the same God that got us through 2020. Guess what? He's going to get us through 2021. Amen. Right? And if somewhere in the middle of 2021, God takes any of us home, then guess what? We're in the presence of the King, and we don't have to worry about it anyway. Amen? Amen? We don't have to be afraid of it. So all the things that we're tempted to worry about, COVID, you know, oh no, the vaccination's out, and if I take it, I might grow a third eye, right? Or an extra arm or something like that. Hey, listen, if I got an extra arm, I'm okay, because then I'll be able to hold this, this, and do my notes at the same time. Bring it on. Bring on the extra arm, right? Work, money, kids, school, relationships, aging. Anybody ever like, oh man, I'm getting older. I'm realizing at 55 years old, I'm like, you know what? This little part of my body doesn't feel like it. What's going to be broken next year? Right? What's going to happen? What are the situations? All of these things, all of that. Friends, I want to tell you, you do not have to stress about your future. You don't have to worry about your future. We can choose to trust God. Don't worry about your 401k. Don't worry about how am I going to do this. God, I'm going to follow after You. I'm going to trust God from the bottom of my heart. I don't have to have all the answers. Thank God I don't have to have all the answers. Listen, if you had all the answers, that means you knew all the problems, and then be like, I don't know if I want to know all that. Trust God. Step out. Live righteously. Put God first. God's going to provide for what we need. And I know that someday when we are all up there, we'll be like, oh God, You provided the whole way. You've been faithful. God, You've been faithful. I want to tell you, God is faithful even when you and I are not. Even when I've chosen to go against God at times, maybe I chose to hang on to worry for a little bit too long, God is still faithful. He's still good. He has proven Himself over and over again.